Hi, and welcome to another one of our broadcasts. And as we start to get into this last week of ordinary time and start looking forward to the beginning of Advent, that'll be next Sunday's services in the Catholic faith, and kind of a reminder that in about 4 weeks, almost a month later, it'll be Christmas, because it's getting to that time of the year. We're here in the on the 27th of November, so we're less than a month away from Christmas. Oh my, isn't that just mind-boggling when you think about it? I want to kind of try to wrap up these lessons that I've been doing currently on understanding the importance of being in Christ and how that transforms the relationship that we have with God, and talks about other things beyond ourselves. And I want to kind of do that this week, so that when we get into Advent, I can kind of take a different perspective on different things with a different message set. I'm kind of debating upon just looking at the daily readings throughout Advent leading into Christmas to kind of show how they highlight both the end time understanding and a preparation for Christmas as a coming of Christ in the first sense. They haven't quite fully fleshed out all those thoughts yet, but we'll see where this goes when this is all wrapped up. But first, I want to kind of look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. When we're kind of looking at these verses, the thing that stands out in them that I want to kind of focus on is the portion that tells us that in Christ is no sin, and whoever abides in him does not sin. The importance of this is kind of highlighted in the first part of 1 John 3, 5, where it says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins." And it's kind of a reminder that as Christians, we're supposed to be living a holy lifestyle, and that holy lifestyle is something that is truly possible. It's not some faraway thing that other people do. It's actually something that you and I, as regular human beings, should be able to do. And the whole misnomer that seems to be going around in many denominations that you'll always sin, there's no way to stop sinning because you sin even subconsciously and unknowingly, kind of, in a sense, detracts from the overall message that Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sins, not just keep us living in them, but to allow us victory over sin and temptation and to truly live holy, righteous lives. In fact, that's what being a saint's all about, is basically living a sinless life. So when we look at these verses, we're reminded that the salvation that we are given from God is a salvation from sinfulness. And it's the great object for which Jesus Christ was made a man. As we kind of look forward to Christmas, we kind of see in the Christmas message that Jesus was given his name, as the angel told Joseph in Matthew's first chapter, that it was because he was supposed to remove his people from their sins. It wasn't that we were to be saved while still being sinners. Saved by grace is some kind of misunderstand that particular understanding. It's so that we live a greater, more blessed life. And in fact, there's a huge connection here between taking away as a reference not only to atonement and freedom from guilt, but actually deliverance from the power of sin, so that the believer no longer has to give in to the temptations of the flesh. We're not under the law in the sense that we should continue to serve sin. We're now under grace. So that's kind of the overall message. If we kind of really look at the New Testament and really understand what it says, from both Romans 6, where I just kind of quoted that we're not under the law, we're under grace, that the point is not so much that it's okay to do whatever you want, it's more that you are now able to live the life that you're supposed to, because you're following, using Romans 8, the first part, the Spirit, and being led by the Spirit as a son and child of God, rather than just following the desires of your flesh. So this is something that's very important. In fact, it points out that Christ's personal holiness is that power that is imparted unto us to allow us to overcome our own personal sins. It's that whole part of the Our Father where we ask not to be led into temptation and delivered from evil. We're really looking for a real salvation, a real kingdom that truly rules over us more than the rulership of Satan and sin and death. And that's kind of the important point here. In fact, Jesus Christ admits the sinner into a life of union with himself as a branch on the vine for the full purpose of us really understanding how not to sin. That's what this whole selection from 1 John chapter 3, 5, and 6 is supposed to encourage us, is to understand that whosoever abides in him sins not. When you're abiding in Christ, when you're totally linked up to Christ, sin is not a possibility because you're really united to him in a real way. And this is really what's the main purpose of abiding that God wants, is so that you do not have to commit sin anymore, that you don't have to be a person that's held down and not able to live the holiness that you were called to, the good works that we are created in Ephesians 6:10, that because we are this creation in Christ, this new creature, old things are passed away, all things become new. I'm quoting a couple scriptures without full reference, but that's pretty much the whole thing. And in fact, if you look at Romans 11, verse 16, it says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. It's a reminder that if Christ is holy, you should be holy too. You should be a saint. You should be able to live a sinless life. You don't have to be tied to roots of bitterness, living in the past. You can let those go and move forward into the future, because your root is not the situation that was bad for you. Your root is Christ. You are bound to him in a way much more intimate than to any abuse that has ever happened to you in your life. So you can be free not to be bitter or held down by those chains. Now the question has to arise. If it's supposed to be consistent with the teaching from Scripture that the abiding corruption of our human nature remains, how is it that that John, in his epistle, can talk to us about not living in sin anymore? Because we know from 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 10 that if we say we have no sin, or that we have not sinned, that we're living in error. This is not really what it's talking about. But we need to look at the statements as they are. If we look at 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, and in verse 10 it says, if we say we have not sinned, these two expressions are not necessarily equivalent in a simple sense. Because having sin in verse 8 is not the same as doing sin in verse 10. Having sin is having a sinful nature, which we all do have. We still have concupiscence. We can still fall away from sin and commit sin. It's still plausible. That's why we still have a great high priest who's able to, through the Catholic understanding of the sacrament of confession, be able to intercede for us and bring us into a more better union. In fact, if we understand these statements of John in the first chapter with Romans 7:19, we understand that in our flesh dwells no good thing. So we need to understand that sinning and doing sin is something very different. The yielding to the indwelling sinful nature and falling into actual transgression is not the same as yielding to the branch, as a branch on a vine, to the sinless Christ that basically is empowering us to overcome sin. Having a sin nature is one thing. Committing sin is another. And this is something that we're trying to understand here from 1 John. The one who is still in sin remains in it through their own flesh. And that's kind of that struggle that we have as Christians. Paul tries to point out the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit in Romans 8, because he starts out saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's kind of a clause that many have considered or not part of the original part of the book. But if you kind of follow through the next 10 verses, you find out that there is a distinction between how you walk according to the carnal nature and how you walk according to the spirit that's being pointed out there. And it's kind of showing this balance here that, that John kind of talks about in his first chapter about how you can't say you've never had any sin in you because you have a sin nature. And in the same thing, you can't say that you've never had past sins. But this is not saying that you cannot live without sin. And this is something that a lot of people get really confused with because they see their past sins and their sin nature, the concupiscence that's in them, as a hindrance to any possibility of not sinning ever again. And that's not so what John's trying to talk about. He's trying to get you to follow the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's going back to Romans, I believe, because there is this distinction between them. But a real place of no condemnation is that you don't walk according to the fleshly nature. You walk according to the Spirit of God, who's been given to you to help you overcome sin, so that when you reach those moments of really being at that spiritual fork in the road, you choose to follow what God wants you to do instead of what your human nature allows you to do. And this is kind of the biggest struggle that a lot of people have, is they say, well, I have this desire for so and such, but you're not supposed to be living according to those carnal desires, as they can be defined more specifically, and as they have been defined by those in Protestant traditions as a carnal nature, or in the Catholic sense, according to concupiscence, because you're supposed to have victory over that old man, that old nature. If you really look at the New Testament, really understand why there's an Ephesus throughout to be in Christ, to abide in Christ as a branch in the vine. And that's something that's very important for us to get. So we need to understand that the difference that we're being pointed out is that it's not so much a possibility of sin, but also the simple fact that the believer needs to be aware that by abiding in Christ and becoming real closely united to Him with an unbroken fellowship, that your soul can live moment for moment in that perfect union with the Lord as His keeper. This is the point of how, if you truly abide in Him who is no sin, you also can live without having to sin, even though your carnal nature is corrupt. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about at the end of Romans chapter 7 when he asks the question, oh, what wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of sin? Well, the person that saves you from this body of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we have this union with Him as a branch on the vine. And this is the importance of how we actually overcome sin and temptation and really get into the real things of God. It's that point of truly becoming a saint. The whole point of our Christian experience should be guiding us into more of a sinlessness, because we're getting closer and closer united to Christ. There's been many a saints in the Catholic faith that realize that their sin nature from a natural point of view is still very real, and it's a struggle. And that's why we're called to a warfare. It's not a warfare against principalities, powers, and Satan and all that kind of stuff, where you're walking around rebuking Satan 95,000 times a day. It's about how you act right now, this instant, this second, and every other second going forward. Because there's going to be moments where you're going to be tempted to be angry at somebody over something really stupid. And then the question comes, do you take the Lord's name in vain? Do you really get into a hatred about it? Do you hold on to bitterness? Or do you just let it go and truly be a branch on the vine? Because this is the main thing we're supposed to have. Because this union with Christ is supposed to allow us to overcome the power of our old nature so it does not reign over your soul. This is what the abiding is all about. So Christians, when they get into sin from time to time, they really don't understand that they're really giving themselves over to the wrong nature that has been given to us. Because there's a divine promise. If we look at Romans chapter 6:14, that sin shall not have dominion over you. And if we go down to verse 12 of Romans 6, it tells you that we're not supposed to let sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. The believer who claims these particular promises from Scripture with full faith has the power to obey the commandments of God in love as they are supposed to, and that sin, the sin nature found in your normal human physical weaknesses, that concupiscence that the church talks about, is something that is not supposed to be supreme in your life. Grace is supposed to be greater. It's only because of ignorance to this promise, or some form of unbelief, or even unwatchfulness that opens the door for sin to reign. We get into too many habits to where we're like cigarette smokers that just have to keep smoking another cigarette, or alcoholics that have to continually go back to the bottle, or whatever the sin is, to continually go back to it because we've trained ourselves to obey a master that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not God Almighty. And that's where the problem comes in. Because the believer is supposed to seek full admission into and permanent abode in Christ, who is the sinless one, and then to find in that abiding a grace that keeps them from an actual transgression. This is the point of what John's talking about in 1 John, when in our selected verses, about in Christ is no sin. And if you abide in Christ, you won't sin. Jesus does indeed save you from your sins, not by removing the sinful nature, but by keeping you from yielding to it. Because it's that whole Joshua 24 moment where you're told there's blessing and curse that's set before you. You have the ability to choose life or you can choose death. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That famous scripture there that many people talk about. And it's that whole making that decision. We are in the valley of decision that I think Joel talks about in the third chapter, to where we do have to make a decision. Will you live for God? Will you give yourself as an instrument of righteousness unto Him? That kind of thing. I mean, there's something that when you really understand it, it really gets into you in a way that you really understand that sin is not something that's supposed to have victory over you. You're supposed to have victory over yourself and really get into this place of truly abiding. I've actually read somewhere where a young lion was able to be kept in check by his keeper and such like that. You've probably seen that when you've seen like Siegfried and Roy and their lion taming stuff before the brutal attack that ended that particular act on Broadway in Las Vegas. And the keeper was able to do this because they're able to exert a certain ability over them. And this is something that should be a thing showing us how our evil nature, our fleshly desires, are something that's always going to be at war against God. In fact, if we really read Romans 8, and you get into the descriptions between what the flesh was too weak to do, but the Spirit's able to do, that you really get into an idea that if you truly abide in the presence of Jesus, your fleshly nature will be just as subdued as a lion by a lion tamer, because Jesus Christ is the lion tamer of our evil desires. So in faith, we can entrust ourselves to Christ so that He will keep us through His indwelling and abiding in us to allow us to overcome sin so we don't have to be swallowed alive by the evils thereof. In fact, we can just bring every kind of temptation and wickedness before God, bitterness, past hurts, and allow Him to take them away and really keep us from sin, because He is the one who leads us not into temptation and delivers us from evil. And that's kind of the big point that we're trying to look at. So when we truly abide in the sinless one, this will allow us to keep us from sinning. In fact, if we really look at it, how can we hope to abide in Christ, even for one moment, if it's not merely to keep us from these actual transgressions? For Christ has commanded us to abide in Him. This is a promise that really can bear forth the rich fruit of the glory of the Father and really show the mighty power of our intercessions because he's able to keep us healthy, vigorous, and completely united with him as a branch on the vine. And this is a promise that if we truly will seek to abide in him and him in us, that we don't have to worry about what kept us down before. We can overcome them. This is the grace that is promised to us in the scriptures. In fact, Jesus said to us in an earlier portion that we studied from John 15:4, that if we abide in Christ and he in you, we will bear much fruit. And this is part of that much fruit. This is a fruitfulness of good works. Because abiding in Christ makes it possible for me not to actually commit a sin. Because if I'm truly aware of his presence in my life, why would I want to do something that would destroy that presence? That's the point here. We really get into a relationship with God that keeps us from sin. It's not about me coming to him and trying to force my old lifestyle into a Christian box. It's true repentance. It's true abandonment of the sins of the past that truly transforms the life and makes you more what you can and should be in God's eyes. Because all that stuff about that's in the world right now about gender identity and what kind of sexual promiscuity that should be permitted because that's how you were born, that stuff gets dropped at the foot of the cross and truly gets transformed because you start seeing yourself not as those things of the past that are just desires of the flesh, but you see yourself as a branch on the vine who's truly trying to live out a life that's not full of the world and its tribulation, that's not full of the sinful nature and all of its temptations, because you truly exist by grace to completely abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the abiding in Christ makes it possible to keep you from this actual committing of sin, because Jesus Christ himself makes it possible for you to abide in him. Now, my beloved believer, I do not wonder if the promise of the text appears to be something far beyond our understanding, because I really just want you to focus your attention on not the question of whether or not this is true, but whether or not you really do want to live a life without sin. Do you truly want to give up those things that are truly behind? Do you truly want to live a life of being a branch on the vine? Do you really want to experience what eternity is about? This is the only question. Because if Jesus at this present moment, as I abide in him, allows me to be kept from actual transgressions and such, isn't that a greater calling than what I could imagine Christianity to be? Isn't it more about the relationship that I have with Christ that truly keeps me now, so that right now as we're living and yielding ourselves completely to him in an earnest and believing prayer, that allows us to overcome sin? In fact, it's a great thing when we really understand it and really get into it, that he allows us, by yielding to him and believing in prayer, to be kept in this abiding, because he abides in you just as you abide in him, so that you go on moment to moment in every succeeding hour with a true trust that overcomes sin. I know this is something really unique and new to a lot of people, because they're told, hey, you sin daily and it's inevitably necessary because of your sin nature. And this is not true. I mean, why is it when we possess a Savior whose love and power is infinite that we are so filled with fear and despondency? We are wearied and faint in our minds because we don't understand our relationship with Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is set down at the right hand of God, whose omnipotence embraces both heaven and earth, who is strong and mighty in securing your eternal salvation. He's the one, as I believe it's Jude, the very 24 and 25 in that one chapter verse, in that one chapter book, in those verses 24 and 25, that keeps us without spot before his eternal coming. I mean, this is the all things that we can do through Christ who strengthens us that Philippians 4:13 is talking about. Because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But when we truly trust in the power of the death of Jesus Christ to cancel the guilt from sin, we should also use it to exercise and appropriate faith in the omnipotent living Savior to deliver us from the bondage and power of sin in our daily life. Do you forget that Christ worked in you mightily once so that you could possess all sufficiency to overcome temptation and become his child? We should not forget that in our nothingness we can imagine no daily path to live without sin except true abiding in Christ, because it's through abiding in Christ that the omnipotence of divine authority can subdue all things unto himself and keep us from a daily infirmity of falling into temptation and sin, and really give us the true victory of being a branch on the vine. If you were truly dependent upon Christ for all things at all times, that would include any moments that you would be tempted by sin. And this is really where it really gets really amazingly good. And you start realizing that those things that you used to do and enjoy, you don't have to continue to do them, because you can truly repent and sin no more. You don't have to be like the adulterous woman stuck in adultery. You can hear the words of Christ: I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. In fact, every time he did a healing that he recorded a command to them, he told them, don't sin anymore. Your sins have been forgiven. You do not commit sin anymore. That's the point. He wants to keep you from sin. I know it's a daily walk and a problem and a struggle, and it's a warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities. We wrestle against ourselves in a lot of ways. We're not wrestling with other people. And we need to be deeply dependent upon Christ in all these. Because if we do, all of our deeds will be wrought, not merely before God, but in God. When we truly do all things to the glory of God the Father, in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, who is our very sanctification, we will be saints. We will be holy. That's the greater calling. In fact, remember that unto Christ all power has been given in heaven and earth. If you live constantly in exercise of faith in this power, you'll understand that it's a power that really allows you not to commit sin anymore. So you really need to have this focus and really believe that we have and are nothing, that with man it is impossible, that in ourselves we have no life that can bring forth fruit, but if we truly abide in Christ as our all, abiding in him as a branch on the vine, and letting his word dwell in us, we can bring forth fruit to the glory of God the Father and truly overcome our sins. So as often as the opportunity occurs in the moments between your occupations of what you do in life and your moments of true prayer with Jesus, you need to continue to renew your faith with an act of devotion, because your Lord Jesus Christ keeps you now. He saves you now. So let failure and sin, instead of discourage you, only urge you all the more to seek your safety and security by abiding in the sinless one. As you begin to abide in this grace, you will begin to grow more wonderfully into the saint that God has always wanted you to be, that true image and likeness of a sinless one that you are being transformed and formed into every day of your life, because this is what is important. And if you will take this complete surrender, you'll persevere and really have victory over the worldly ways of sin and death. If you keep it and really abide in Christ and let his work keep you from sinning, you will have victory. This is the sure promise of abiding in the branch, abiding in the vine as a branch. Because you start seeing it as his work, as the branch to bear and uphold, as the vine to bear and uphold you as the branch. I don't know why I'm slipping back and forth today. It's just one of those moments. But it's really having this gaze upon the holy human nature of Jesus Christ and realizing that he has prepared for you to be a partaker of that particular nature, that you can truly be kept from sin and restrain the evil within you and truly give you victory. That is the blessed calling of our salvation. And it's in understanding this that we understand how we become a vessel that is purified and cleansed that is filled to its fullness and made a channel showing forth of his power, his blessing, and his glory for all eternity, and really understand this new creature in Christ that we are created unto, a creature that has been created unto good works that God has mandated from the beginning, and the commandments truly do not become a stumbling block for you. You don't have to sin. You don't have to commit adultery, lie, cheat, steal. You don't have to be ungrateful and not honor other people to whom honor is due. You don't have to curse. You can overcome sin because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. This is our victory. This is our faith that overcomes the world. And it overcomes the sin that you would commit if you were only left to your own human fallen nature with the concupiscence that is in it. I hope this really encourages you today to really live a more saintly life. And hopefully this has blessed you in some way, and that you'll really consider becoming one of our patrons if you're not already. We are just asking for only a $5 monthly amount through our patron program. And if we're able to do that, we're able to defray some of the cost of being able to put off this ministry and hopefully be able to make it more of a more self-sustaining ministry that's able to bless each one of you and more allow us to do other broadcast types, like maybe get into videos so that we can do some video feeds instead of just listening to me, get other options out there. Would love to get a Facebook page together and be able to hire somebody to manage that so that we can talk with one another, get prayer requests, pray for one another, and really get into what the fellowship of the believing is supposed to be about. And if we get more than what we're budgeting for any particular time, we'll be able to do other things like help out people through the St. Vincent de Paul Society, one of the great societies in the church that I would recommend just donating to yourself on any given basis, because they do help people in need and such. And it's a great society that I too, as a Vincentian, am part of. So I do hope that you guys kind of look into that and really get that going and just join our patron program. We do have the link in the comment section below that kind of explains to you what this broadcast is. And hopefully we get you again tomorrow for another broadcast, because we are trying to reach the world and really get you to know what the gospel is and what true Christianity is, when it's not just a religion, it's a relationship. And hopefully all this really helps you become a better Christian, because I want one day for us all to get to heaven and to truly walk those streets of gold and truly realize that the true blessedness of God is his fellowship with us, his relationship with us, and our relationship with one another, because that is when heaven gets tasted on earth. So thank you very much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.